Prep Sports Now. Case Kiefer here with Ray Brewer to preview a week that Ray Brewer says, quote, we've all been waiting for. I've heard that a bunch from him. I've actually had fun the whole season, but apparently this is the week Brewer lives for, and this is all he cares about in Las Vegas high school football.
We have all been waiting for it. I mean, we are me and all our listeners out there in all the Valley. I mean, last year the Gorman-Palo game did set a record for attendance in Southern Nevada, breaking the Gorman-Palo 2009 game. So, yeah, I think a lot of people are waiting for Gorman-Palo. It's like the only game that moves the radar. It's the window of sorts into what we have here in high school football. Palo and Gorman, two great teams. It's a gift to the community that they're able to play this. And quite frankly, we need it because with the exception of Gorman's national games, this year has been full of some teams that have kind of brought down the level of play in the Las Vegas Valley. I think we had more teams that struggled than usual this year, and I think this game is just a celebration of what we do in Las Vegas. Celebrate!
I can see all that, and we'll certainly get down to breaking down the game, but tell me this, just because I don't understand, and I've never really looked at it. Starting next year, it looks like they're going to be in the same division, right? Does that mean they're going to play in the regular season? Okay, all right.
Unfortunately, if I was doing the realignment, which who am I, right, Case?
Now, I was just going to ask you, do you think this game would lose some mystique if they played in the regular season every year?
Yeah, it obviously would lose some mystique, but wouldn't you want to have it guaranteed that they were going to play every year? Wouldn't you want that ticket sales, the 7 for adults and 5 for students, for 5,000 kids, guaranteed in every sport? I'd have them in the same league.
Here's a good trivia question that I'm sure you know the answer to, and I don't, so it's probably bad that I'm asking it.
Are you giving away like a free T-shirt if I get this?
Well, I don't know the answer, so I think I know a general area. But when was the last time they didn't play, that they both didn't reach each other in the playoffs?
Well, this is the, fifth straight year they've met in the playoffs?
And Gorman's won all but one, correct?
Sixth straight year. It was Gorman, Palo. No, fifth straight year that they've met in the playoffs. So the year before that, they didn't meet. So it was Altshuler's first year and then all three of Sanchez's years. Speaking of T-shirts, Case Kiefer, I've seen some T-shirts that the Palo people have made to promote the game. Unfortunately, I saw those shirts last week before they beat Centennial. And as you know, it was a minor miracle that they didn't lose that game late. I thought that they were all done, and so I think they definitely looked past Centennial with all these T-shirts, but the T-shirt I saw says Homegrown Talent versus Bought Talent, Palo Verde versus Gorman.
Wow, you're going to get some enemies on the podcast in the first 3 minutes.
I'm telling you what the T-shirt says, not what I believe.
All right. So, I see it. But it is kind of ironic. You told me about this last week, like you said, before Palo Verde played Centennial, which what I would say hereby is a candidate for game of the year. I think on here I made Palo Verde a 24.5 point favorite or something like that. Obviously, you won.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah, we split on that, but just to talk about the game, I think I really got to give Centennial some credit. You know, I liked them all year, but I definitely feel like I doubted them last week. I didn't think they had that in them to hang with Palo like that. And in all honesty, they could have easily won that game. Palo scores at the end. They should have won the game. So, I mean, just an amazing year for Centennial, an amazing way to end it. But, I mean, what's going on with Palo? Was it just that Centennial played that great, and they did? Or did you see you think there are some problems with Palo in that game that they need to correct?
Well, they gave up 20 unanswered, so You got to ask yourself, was it that they overlooked Centennial, or was it that Centennial was really a good team, or is there something wrong at Palo? And I think it obviously is a combination of all three. I know that, you know, Palo had some guys out with injury, and it clearly showed. They're going to be back to full strength this week for Gorman. And it's a game where, like any rivalry, throw out the emotion. I mean, throw out the records, because emotion's going to take over. And I know Gorman has beat Palo two consecutive seasons. But I think once the ball's kicked off, it's not going to matter. It's one of those deals, Kiefer.
Yeah, I can see that not mattering. But
You don't think the game's gonna be close? I mean, I could tell by your
condescending voice. Actually, if you're listening to this podcast right now, open a new tab. Don't stop listening to us because we love just spewing our ridiculous opinions. But open a new tab. Go to the picks, which I've already posted, so I know they're up there. I actually picked the game to be closer than you, so I don't think that you can tell me that I don't think it's gonna be close. Look, since we're still talking about the Palo Centennial game. I actually think it might be a good thing that Palo maybe slipped up there. I think it's going to maybe refine their focus during this week and get them to really work on some things that went wrong, I guess. And this defense has been great all year, so I don't really see – and I know Gorman can score points at will, and Palo's secondary is probably a question mark because they haven't faced a quarterback even close to a new Solomon. But I think Palo can keep it close. I think it could be like that game last year where, it was kind of anyone's game at halftime and then Gorman exploded in the second half. So I think I ended up picking him by like 26 or something like that.
And I think the good thing for Palo being challenged by Centennial is the fact that they had to throw the ball. They threw the ball almost 20 times. I think it might have even been a school record for passes. School opened in 97. And you're not going to beat Gorman running at him. I mean, I know the misdirection is tough, but eventually it comes down to your line blocking Gorman's line. And if Centennial could stop the run, which when I got back from my game and watched part of the Centennial game on TV, they were doing, Gorman's definitely going to stop the run. So you got to get the ball to your athletes in space, yeah, right?
Here's who I want to see more of, though, and I think you know exactly what I'm going to say. Excuse me. I think all year – the guys that have been getting the ball the most, Eric South, Lee Griggs, great players, not taking anything away from them. But I think it was telling that in that final play, who scored the final touchdown? Our boy, Ryan Bouye. They give him the ball. He's so fast to the edge. He's probably got maybe a little bit fewer carries than I expected this year. I mean, you're up against Gorman, you need to throw out everything you have. I would really like to see it. Maybe you throw it to him out in space like you're saying. Maybe you hand it off to him. But if I was Coach Narwin Ross, and definitely he's a lot smarter than me, he knows his team better than me, but I'm making sure that kid touches the ball enough in this game.
I mean, that's what I say, too. You got to get your players the ball in space. And, we know – we'll take the script of last year's game. Scoreless until Palo kicked a field goal with less than a minute to play. Gorman comes back. They score the touchdown. They go up 7-3 at the half. I think this year's game is going to follow a similar script. Both teams are going to be conservative early. The defenses will be emotional. They'll contain each other. They'll try to fill each other out like a prized fight. And then I think Gorman sparks will fly, and they'll go from there.
Yeah, I could see it. Funny note, on last week we talked about the Palo Centennial game. Gorman again blew out our review. Not sure the exact score. You did tell me it was 7-7 at the end of the first quarter, right? Interesting. But anyways, this doesn't really go anywhere with analysis or anything, but I thought it was funny. The official in the Liberty game, which I was at, was telling people on the sidelines that it was in the second quarter and Arborview was leading 17-7. And people were actually believing him. A couple guys who were probably listening, hey, how are you doing? They came up to me and goes, have you heard a Gorman score? And I was like, yeah, 35-7 Gorman at halftime. I'm like, oh, I can't believe I believed that. And the referee's over there laughing. So well done to get people to believe that Arborview was up 17-7.
Okay, since 2006, Gorman's lost one league game and one playoff game to a local opponent. So they have two losses to a local opponent. And whenever they're challenged, the buzz, the scores, everybody somehow is getting a score from a text from somebody at the game. Just the buzz to hear that Gorman's being challenged.
Even if it's not true.
Even if it's not true. It just, suffers all the way through. Do you think, like, if you had a team, say you had – whatever, you were the coach of Liberty or Foothill or Palo, do you think you could game plan to beat Gorman? I mean, what would you do to beat Gorman? If you had a team, say, that was equally talented, or how would you beat Gorman? What would you do to beat Gorman?
I think this is the third week you've asked this question. Yeah, well, I mean, basically the conclusion we come to, at least that I come to.
In the podcast?
This is at least the second time I'm thinking the third.
Because we talk so much in the newsroom.
Yeah, I know. I think this is the third time you've asked this. But I think the conclusion that we've come to every time, maybe that even you've come to, because I say there's no way you're beating Gorman no matter what, is that you want to just somehow play ball control, get 3 or 4 yards every time.
We did talk about
have these 16 play drives. Yeah, maybe that we have new listeners, though, since this week is so different. We'll talk about it again. And the only team that I think could possibly do that is Liberty, which I know you're going to roll your eyes and say that's ridiculous. But I wouldn't be surprised if Liberty gives Gorman the closest game of anyone left.
What happened in the Arborview Liberty game?
That's going way too far back. Liberty looked terrible. They tried to spread out the ball. They tried to throw it a lot. They got punched in the mouth right from the beginning. I really honestly, and I'm not saying this because you call me a Liberty homer, I really believe they're a different team than they were in that game. And Arborview should be favored if, say, they play again tomorrow. I think Arborview would be the favorite, but I'm picking Liberty at this point in the season. I think Liberty has gotten a lot better, and Arborview kind of stayed about the same as they were at the beginning.
I think Liberty knows what its identity is.
Yeah, and it didn't against Arborview, in my opinion.
They've tried to implement the spread a little bit this year. The bottom line, you got to have the horses to do that, and Liberty's secretariat is Nico Capelli, and that's running between the tackles. You got Capelli blocking for Capelli and three big guys, you know, opening gaps for him. He carried the ball, 38 times in your game?
I had him, I think, 40.
Whatever it is, 40 times? I mean, the guy's got to get some tires. If he's a NASCAR, he's got to go to the shop and get some tires put on for this race. I mean, 40 times is ridiculous, but you're right. Liberty's kind of found its identity, and maybe, who knows, next time we do this show, maybe we're talking about a Liberty Gorman game.
I think we're likely talking about a Liberty Gorman game, but not for sure.
The Liberty. Okay, we both picked
Liberty. I can guarantee, sorry to interrupt you, I can guarantee we're not talking about a Palo Verde Foothill game. If that happens, every listener, I'll do something special next week. It's not happening.
Something special.
Way to be specific for me.
Yeah. I guess let's talk about the Foothill game. Obviously, you were at the first Foothill Liberty game. Foothill, to their credit, put up 41 points. They do have a great quarterback. They do have the best player on the field in Kyle Kieplinger, correct?
I thought you came to the conclusion a couple weeks ago that Nico was the best player in the Southeast, and I kind of argued for Kieplinger. Okay. Role reversal. Take your pick. Those two kids are special, in my opinion.
I just think that Liberty probably uses Capelli better than Foothill uses Kieplinger.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because Foothill's got to rely on him getting the pass. And I mean, Basic did a great job last week of shutting Kieplinger out. It's just that Basic wasn't, you know, good enough to take care of some of the other guys at Foothill. But listen, you were at the first game. Foothill scores 41 points, but they couldn't stop Capelli. Is there any way that you could imagine Foothill being better up front now to kind of stop the run? Because that's what it comes down to, is their D-line got dominated.
I actually could, and I know this might rub some people the wrong way, but there is no doubt in my mind that Foothill is a good enough team to beat Liberty. That game was so close the first time. It came down to a couple mistakes. I've got a lot of respect for the coaching staff of Foothill. I've seen them do some good things in the years I've been here. Look, no one's been able to solve this Liberty puzzle because they pound it so well. But if you load too many guys in the box, they have a pretty serviceable quarterback in Kainakua, who personally I think has gotten just loads better through the season. He looked really good against Vegas. So they can do just enough in the passing game to punish you for loading the box. It's going to take kind of a creative scheme. You're going to have to do something different if you're Foothill than you did the first time. But I think Foothill might have the brains over there to put something in and really challenge Liberty, and I think they're going to have a chance here.
See, if I were Foothill, I would load the box. I would let Capelli carry the ball 40 times, but he would leave bruised up with 100 yards. I mean, bottom line, I'd put 12 guys in the field to try to stop him. There's no way that kid's rushing the ball 40 times for 300 yards.
Well, the thing is, and we should talk a little bit about their game, Vegas, I thought, played really well. I'm definitely giving credit to Vegas. I don't really think it was a 44-28 game. They had one horrible stretch. I'm talking about last week, of course. But the problem was they just could not find out how to stop this offense. They did load the box. They did all those things you were talking about. They couldn't stop in any way. There were some mistakes, but they did stop it in the first half. But then they got too reliant on that, and then Nakua went, I think, 6-for-6 or 8-for-8 or something. Every time they loaded the box, he'd find someone running out on the flat 60-yard completion, 45-yard completion. So I think there's just more danger in doing that than you probably realize. And even though Liberty's game plan, their MO, is going to be to run right at you, I think that they have the passing game figured out enough to where you can't completely put all your chips there.
Okay, and then one more thing. You know, Liberty is clearly a second-half team. They've struggled in the first half quite frequently. Arborview, Desert Pines, Coronado, Foothill was even the first time. Who else had they struggled with early? Whatever it is, Foothill's going to need to start quick. If Foothill could get a lead and then try to shorten the game in the second half with a little ball control, stranger things have happened.
Yeah, I mean, my point of this is what I was kind of trying to get across on defense, and I don't know if they'll do this, but I think if I'm at Foothill, I pretty much know I think Liberty's the better team. This is me looking at it unbiased. I think Liberty's the better team. I think Foothill, you need to use some creativity on both sides of the ball, maybe even on special teams, do some reverse something. Use some creativity, take some gambles. I think that's the way you could beat them.
Well, this is the week you pull out all the stops. Always a fun week for me because, you know, I remember when I was at Shap and right around when the clock would change, you know, it gets dark around 4 or 5. And always good to see the football players. My freshman year, we went to the state championship game. And, you know, how cool is it when everybody else is out there playing hoop? You know, you got your football team coming in the dark, you know, with their cold gear on all ready to go. It's just a special time for me. And that's why I'm so fired up for the Gorman-Palo game. You know, it's like we wait all year to see two elite teams like that that are well-coached and well-prepared and not taking anything away from Foothill Liberty. You know, somebody had mentioned to me earlier that it was going to be like the JV game of sorts, which isn't true. I mean, a title's on the line, the Sunrise title, two great teams. And I know that, you know, they're not in the spotlight this week. Bottom line is everybody wants to see Gorman-Palo. You know, they give us great traffic on the internet. People love to talk about it. People want to know if Palo's got a chance. People want to know, you know, what's the latest, you know, gossip going on. And it's just cool for a week to have a game that it's this important.
Yeah, I think, though, that Liberty Foothill will be closer. Not that I'm going out on a limb with that.
Well, maybe that's our bet.
I definitely think that's going to be your bet. You want to give me Liberty Foothill, and you can take Palo Gorman to be closer?
No, give me some points.
All right.
But it's like, let me tell you. You know, have you heard of the phrase bucket list?
Of course.
Okay, what's on your bucket list?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Okay,
I don't have time to put it together. I'm too busy breaking down high school football games with you, Ray Berger.
Yeah, when I was younger, one of the items on my bucket list, believe it or not, was a royal flush.
Wow. That's probably on my bucket list, too.
Is it?
I mean, I would think so. I'm going to incriminate myself here, but I do play a lot of poker, so you'd think I would hit a royal flush at some point.
Yeah. Okay, so, but, you know, my bucket list now is I would like to one year, maybe when I retire and I'm older, cover high school football for a year in Texas. You know, just where every week is Palo Gorman. You know, like you're looking forward to it. You know, where you got to leave early. Like, listen, gates open at 6:30 at Gorman. By 6:35, you'll be parking at the PTs back there.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Try not to step in any bushes like you did.
Yeah, you better be careful with that. I like that. I'm always partial, though, to when people say Texas football. I kind of give you the rolling eyes look that you hate because I grew up in Alabama originally, and I think Alabama football is every bit as good as Texas, just on a smaller scale, so no one really talks about it.
Okay.
but there you go.
But Gorman would go to Alabama and dominate.
See, that's one thing I would love to see. I tell my little brother this, who went to school in Hoover, Alabama, famous for that two-a-day show on MTV. I would love to see Gorman play like the best team in Alabama. And no, there's no way they would dominate. It would be an amazing game. That's why I want to see it. I think it would be like some of those national games we saw earlier this year.
Okay, Gorman-Palo, not the only big game. Before we give you our picks, your boys, the Pirates of Moapa Valley, going up there to face that Truckee train. I don't know, Kiefer. Truckee's beaten them the last 2 years in the state game. But as we talked about at the beginning of the year, Truckee basically had to start from scratch this year. Looks like they've done pretty well. They haven't lost a game yet. You've covered a little bit of it. Does Moapa Valley have a chance, especially with the travel affiliated with it?
Well, to be honest, I don't know a whole lot about Truckee. I just know they're good, and they kind of have Moapa's number. And I like your points. I see why you like Truckee. On paper, they might look like a little bit better team. The travel, I mean, that does have an effect. That's a long trip up there. But I just really like this Moapa Valley team. I think you saw exactly what you needed to this last week. They come back after a really tough game against Virgin Valley, where by all accounts they played one of their worst games of the year. They come back and they beat Lowry pretty easily, 19-7. Lowry is a good team. I think Moapa Valley is going to give just one heck of a performance. I think it's going to be a really close game. But I said all year Moapa Valley is winning the 3A state championship. I'm not changing now. Give me the Pirates.
See, I just don't know if who knows? They could be. I don't know much about it either. They seem to be two evenly matched teams. But what I do know, Case, is that any team from this part of town going up north where it's going to snow is going to have problems. We've never played in snow here before.
Maybe it won't snow.
We don't like the cold weather. A bus trip up there is no fun. And let's be honest, you're not going to get any calls going your favor. I'm sorry, but I just think I've told everybody Northern Nevada is the armpit of the world. It is just a bunch of people that look down on Southern Nevada. You know, they hate us from the zip code, the area code thing. And you're not going to, and there's going to be no favors going up there. Get up there. It's like you're robbing a bank, Moapa Valley. Get up there, get in, get out. Don't get hurt, in my opinion.
I mean, I don't disagree with what you're saying. I see why you're picking Truckee, but I'm picking Moapa. I know you teased the picks, and we will get to that. But I want to say one more thing on this week of football that I think you will agree with. I'm sure it's also repetitive, but, I mean, hey, we've been doing this 14 weeks now. Of course we're going to be repetitive. To pat myself on the back, as I usually do, my playoff bracket right now is absolutely perfect. I haven't missed one game.
Oh, really?
You've missed a ton, but that's besides the facts because you picked every Northeast team. But I think we can both agree that three of the four teams that are left are no surprise at all to us. But if we go back to the beginning of the year, none of us expected Foothill to be this far. I think Foothill deserves some recognition for kind of being this year's surprise team, as far as I'm concerned, because, you know, Liberty was probably the favorite. Maybe Del Sol was up there because of the Ray Brewer hype machine. We all knew we were going to see Paolo Gorman, but I really thought Foothill was going to have a setback year. Neither of us had them making the playoffs, and look, I mean, they're a Final Four Southern Nevada team, so I think Foothill deserves some props for that.
They do, and they're one of a few teams to win a playoff game every year the last 3 years.
Yeah, and I think the thing that it shows, and hopefully I haven't said this before, is it shows that you have more than a good team when you do that. You have a good program. I know there's some other schools we mentioned when we talk about programs, but I think Foothill has rightfully has kind of earned the right to be in that category from now on.
Exactly, and if you look at teams that have won playoff game in the last 3 years, Paolo, Gorman, Liberty, Foothill. Four teams left, Paolo, Gorman, Liberty, Foothill.
There you go. And all of them, yeah, I really like all the pageantry at all those schools is real good too, you know?
Well, and the thing I like about Foothill, not that we're going to turn this into the Foothill Times, but they got literally 400 girls in the cheer team, another 400 in the band, and each of them bring like a mom and dad and a sister.
I don't know how the school, how do they have that many kids in the school? The band looks bigger. I am not joking. When the band walked in the last game, I think it was more people than went to my entire high school. It was insane. It was hundreds.
Yeah.
And while we're on this hodgepodge of subjects, the Liberty halftime show around,
yeah.
Rich Morocco, the Liberty coach, teased it for me when he was heading to the locker room. He was like, wait till you see this. This is going to be awesome. Polynesian club. I didn't really know what to believe him or not.
Were these kids or adults?
They were kids. And first, there were two dance routines, which was awesome. But then the highlight was there were two guys that came out and started playing with these fire sticks, throwing them to each other, twirling them. The kid ate fire for a little bit. It was just unbelievable. I was thinking, I went on my Twitter and put my high school alma mater would have never sponsored this activity at a high school halftime show. I think that speaks to the culture over there at Liberty, and it was definitely fun to watch, but I was a little bit worried. I mean, what if something goes wrong? You are playing with fire after all.
Happen when Liberty faces Kyle Kepplinger playing with fire.
Yeah, so there you go. Shout out for I think it was the Polynesian Club at Liberty. Quite impressive. I'm sorry you had to miss it.
Yeah, I wanted to be there the day they roasted a pig.
Oh, yeah, I remember you talking about that, too. I mean, just a great environment over there. I think maybe, hopefully in another life, I'm like Polynesian like that. The whole environment I love. You just eat some barbecue, dance around, play with fire, and
yeah,
I love it.
And then again, if you look at the last four schools left, great community support.
That's true, too. So I think we've drawn some parallels. I guess we'll get to it. I think we've already teased exactly who we're going to pick. But just final thoughts on both these games. We'll start with Bishop Gorman and Palo Verde. What say you, Ray Brewer, about this one?
Well, bottom line, I just think that Gorman, not only do they have good players at virtually every position, they've got great players at virtually every position. If you want to try to stop the pass, they got a Division I tailback, first and second string that'll run it down your throat. You try to stop the run, they got probably the best quarterback we've ever seen in Nevada throwing the ball. You know, defensively, they're always, you know, recording shutouts. They're always stellar. It's just a tough cross to bear for Palo. Gorman is as good as we've ever seen right now in Las Vegas. Don't know if they're ever going to get bad. Palo, undefeated, great team, great program, great for Nevada, good players as well. But they're clearly not going to keep it close. The question is, how many points are they going to lose by?
Right. I pretty much agree with what you're saying. Palo Verde, undefeated season, a lot to be proud of, great defense. Even though they probably had their worst game of the year last week, still great defense. I think that they're going to probably stop Gorman a couple times, a little bit more than Gorman's been used to. But I just don't see Gorman ever trailing in this game. I think their passing game is just way too explosive. If I'm Palo Verde, though, I'm getting the ball to Ryan Bouye to reiterate that. But I got Gorman big here. Like I said, a little less than four touchdowns, which is not so bad considering I installed Gorman as a 28-point favorite. So I have Palo Verde covering somehow.
Okay. All right.
All right. Well, next game, Foothill and Liberty, of course. The last game was went down to the wire. Liberty wins by a touchdown. I kind of like the same type of game here. I think it's going to be maybe not as high scoring. I think Foothill's going to find a way to get their points. I think Doc Stader is just really good back there, quarterback. He's going to hit some receivers. They're going to score. But I just don't know how much they can stop Liberty. Liberty's going to chew up clock and score themselves and win a close game.
You know, and I agree with you. I just think Liberty is the more physically put together team. Probably a little more aggressive as well. And, you know, when push comes to shove, there's a reason why Liberty's better in the second half, and that's because they wear you out. And I think there's no question about it. I know I've been anti-Liberty for some all year, but I think they're a clear-cut favorite, and I think they're going to win rather leisurely.
All right, well, there you have it. We're both going Liberty-Gorman. If that is indeed the case, or even if it isn't, we'll be back here next week to talk about it. Thanks for listening.